Hi, this is Brian Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Para Investigators Radio.
EIR Radio is mainly an opinion paranormal talk show. All opinions, comments, or statement of facts expressed by PIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by PIR Radio, ASPRN, Paranormal Radio Network, and their affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
Alrighty, folks, it's Sunday, it's PIR Radio time. Hopefully you come to get your paranormal radio experience that you will not forget, because we try to keep it paranormal, but sometimes we don't. But otherwise, we have a great show lined up. But before we get to all the show information, as always, don't forget, check out our website, www.pirradio.com. And also, you can hear us live every Sunday night at www.paranormalradioonline.com. Just click the live tab. You can also click the pro tab on PIR Radio. And also, we have just started up the fan page for Pro. If you want to listen to Pro, there's a fan page, and if you just click the welcome app, I guess that's on there. It's in the infancy stage, so you should be able to listen to Pro Radio, whether it's my show or we actually have a exciting news. I'll let Bill, since he's the owner of PRO, to announce who's going to be airing right after us tonight. But you can listen to any pro show on the Facebook now, which is pretty cool. It's in the infancy stage, so just give us a little time. We'll work on it. We'll fix the code up, and we'll get it working pretty good. But as always, I have my co-host with me, Bill, from it's rainy, cool, and balmy Philadelphia today.
Actually, you know, it's funny when I was debating going out because I still don't feel so well, but I felt a lot better. My friend says, oh, it's beautiful. You should go out. And as soon as I left the house, it's windy and cold, and I don't know where he lives, but it sure isn't my Philadelphia. I mean, this is a matter of 20 minutes. He said, I just came in, so it was like a windstorm. So anyway, it is windy and cold, or it was this afternoon.
Awesome. That's all. Hey, but you know what? It's wintertime. But real quick, Bill, before I forgot, since we haven't been on in a while and I'm kind of rusty, I'll admit it. We do this to have fun. We're not professionals. I forgot to mention you can catch the podcast on iTunes. It should be up there. The podcast for tonight's show should be up, tomorrow sometime, probably sometime in the afternoon. I would look for it, but you can catch us on many podcatchers, Podomatic. And also, what's the new website that you have us on for? It's like a blog or something. Is it loudblog.com?
It's pirradio.com/loudblog, but yeah, we can put that link up there too, so people can catch that. Some of the older shows that might not be available on iTunes.
True, because I think iTunes only keeps the top 20, and Podomatic, we only have so much space, so that's top 20. But or also, if anyone's interested, we have if you check out the guest link on PIR Radio, and you want that podcast, and it's not available, and you can't find it, you can send me an email at kurt@pirradio.com, and I'll put it on Loudblog for you to make sure that you have access to it. That way, you know, everything's on demand.
Yeah, that's right. And also, you know, we still have all these top 200 shows. Is it, Kurt?
The first 100 shows on DVD.
First 100 shows, yes.
On DVD.
So if people want to just email Kurt at PIR Radio or Bill at PIR Radio, we'll definitely be more than happy to send one of them out to the first couple people. I mean, we don't have that many, but I'm willing to send them out to whoever's listening, and all you podcast people. Okay, that's great.
Absolutely. But, you know, I mentioned that we have exciting news that we're having another show on Pro, air after us.
Right. And Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels, definitely is worth catching. I mean, he does live readings on the air over the phone, so you just call into him. Wonderful guy. He was doing live stream from his website, so you could see him talking, but he wanted to go back to archiving the show, so he asked me if he could come back on or come on because he's never been there, and now he'll be back. So the man who talks to angels does live readings to search for a loved one that might be surrounding you.
Excellent. I mean, Ron's a great guy. He makes great connections. So check him out if you're on the go and want to listen to him on the Pro. We would love you to, you know, join us. I'm sure some people will be in the chat. I'll be in the chat room here listening to Ron, the man who talks to angels on Pro, just, you know, just to check it out, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. But, you know, we have a great guest, but we have, before we get to our guest, we need an update, Bill.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, man. You know, I just got this investigation request today from Lori. Oh, actually, I saw Lori. It was her son's fourth birthday, and God, I'm like, where did the time go? Because I remember when I just went and visited her in the hospital 4 years ago and saw that baby, you know, in the little window. You remember them days, right, Kurt?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but now it's four, and how old's your daughter?
2 years old. She'll be 2 years old at the end of February. It's like gone by so quick.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so she sent me over an investigation request, and basically it's a bunch of check boxes. You can actually find out more about what we do and then at DelcoGhost.com, DelcoGhost.com. But so she sent me an investigation request, and basically it's check boxes when they fill it out, or they can type in, and the person just answered yes or no questions throughout the whole thing. Until the end, and they said there's this one woman and another woman and a guy haunting them. So I'm thinking, well, okay. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to go to the investigation, but I will contact the people because it's an hour and a half drive.
Ow.
From us. Yeah, and the typed in information was very vague, and I don't think they need us. I don't think they have a haunting that they're worried about, because it says on there, are you scared? Are you worried? And they didn't put anything, so it's not very good. But the hour and a half drive is probably going to kill us for such a vague description. Anyway, but I do want to say, on the 8th of next month, we are going to go to a place. We're paying to go to this little house called Grumblethorpe, and it's at 5267 Germantown Ave. And you can also see that story on Delco Ghost, the group I'm involved in with Lori. But real fast, there's an interesting story. On October 4th, 1777, James Agnew, a British general, was shot in the back and in the side. He bled to death in his bedroom. Oh, I'm sorry. He laid out. Oh, yeah, he bled to death in his bedroom. And they say that the bloodstains are still on the floor. So we're going to go there. The legend is also, if you're at the house by yourself at dusk, you will hear moaning. I guess that was the time he was shot. So we're going to go there for a four-hour investigation on February 8th.
Will you hear something like this?
What is that?
That was a creak.
Oh. No, it's a moaning.
Something like this?
Very good. But also, you could find out more about that at Duck of Ghost, and there is... There's also where I got most of them. Oh, man, I hate this new Skype.
Yeah, the new Skype's kind of weird. You know, when you call someone, it puts you on, and you can't find the, you know, if you're trying to, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I got to get used to it.
Anyway, I got most of this information from a website called philaplace.org, philaplace.org. Kurt said I should note when I steal literature off the internet and share it on the radio.
Yeah, just to give them, you know, it's a courtesy and a credit to make sure that, you know.
So you can go there and read this about the Grumblethorpe, the Wister House, and let me know what you think. And then we'll have our investigation on the 8th, and then, of course, the following week we'll have a show on the 20th, and we'll get back to you.
Awesome. Just a side note, the weekend in February, the 26th of February, we probably will not have a show. We're moving that weekend.
Oh, you're moving to a house,
yeah,
right?
I'm moving to a house, so I don't know if we'll have internet at that time or not. There's still a possibility. You just got to figure out a way. If I have internet, we can do it. If not, we can still find a way to do it.
You can call into me, Kurt.
Yeah.
All right, we'll work that.
We'll figure something out.
You know, I'm really excited because about our guest tonight because he said that he's well-versed in radio interviews, but... There's no other interview like our interview.
I know, we do this to have fun and to learn, and you know, just to network with people.
And how many times have people said to us after a show, "Man, you guys ask totally different questions than the rest of these bozos." You know,
I think we ask a lot of the same questions. Don't really listening to all those shows.
But we also put a we do ask questions that are not obvious.
We do off the wall questions because you know you always hear me go, you know I have an off the wall question.
But I'm excited because one of our followers from Canada, Aaron, has introduced us to Justin of sorts, or was introduced to Justin. I don't know the best way to say that. But anyway, I'm going to let you take over, Kurt, and finish up all clean up my mess I made.
All right. Yeah, we have a great guest tonight. Our guest is Justin, and he's from Maritime Paranormal. Their website is www.maritimeparanormal.ca. You can do .ca or .com. That's MaritimeParanormal.ca or .com. And just a little brief, you know, here's a little brief, you know, statement that's on their website. That's their mission statement from Maritime Paranormal. That way you can get to know them a little bit. Maritime Paranormal consists of a diverse group of individuals residing in the Maritime and Atlantic provinces who seek to debunk, corroborate, or validate personal experiences and or secondhand accounts of paranormal activity. Our minds, ears, and eyes are open to anyone who would like to share their personal experiences or seeking validation by means of a thorough investigation. So you know we're going to put Justin on the hot seat about that just a little bit. You know,
No problem.
But as you know, you can hear our guest is on the line with us tonight. How's it going tonight, Justin?
It's going great, thanks.
I know it's I'm in Central Standard Time and I think you're in Atlantic Standard Time?
We're -4, so it's about 10-12 here.
So you're staying up late on a Sunday night for us. We appreciate that. I know hopefully you don't have to work in the morning.
I do, but it's not going to be an issue.
I have
He's
to be up.
Guy, Kurt. He's not as old as you.
Yeah, but I have to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's true.
but you know what? I only need my 4 hours of sleep. But, Justin, welcome to the show. We appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us.
No, thank you. Glad to be here.
So, you know, we always ask this question, and we'll ask this question, we'll go to a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll really dive into the show. But what got you interested in the paranormal, and how did you start up Maritime Paranormal?
Do you mean so much as the investigative side, or just in general passing interest?
Why not everything? What got you interested in the paranormal to make you decide to form your group that you're in?
Well, I guess I've always had an interest in it since I was a kid. I remember I used to always get books from my parents about paranormal phenomena, usually local to our region, but never really thought too much of it. I did have an experience in my teens that kind of opened my eyes a little bit, but more or less, I've just always had questions about it.
But Justin, I got to back you up before you get too far away, and Kurt's going to run amok. So what happened in your – you know, there's two things I just noted. One was that your parents bought you books, so they must have been – sort of open to this sort of situation. But what happened to you? If you want to explain that story, if you don't, we can just move forward.
No, I'll explain it. One night I was babysitting my stepbrother and stepsister, and I was lying on the couch watching TV, and out of the corner of my eye, I thought I saw my stepsister standing in the doorway. And to me, out of the corner of my eye, it looked like somebody standing there in a long white nightgown. And I remember just saying to her, you know, Jessica, go back to bed. And she didn't listen, so I turned the dresser straight on. And just as I did that, she had disappeared. So I'm still on the fence about it. I don't know if it's something that I misperceived or maybe my imagination at work late at night. But it's always kind of struck a chord with me. And, you know, I can't really discount people who have seen the same things.
That's awesome. I mean, I think there must have been something that happened that made you say, well, my stepsister's over there, or my stepsister's there, so how could she have been there? You know, so.
Well, exactly. Immediately afterward, actually, I had gotten up and went and checked, because I thought she had gone down to her stepbrother's bedroom. It's one of the things they used to like to do. Mm-hmm. And when I went into his bedroom, sure enough, he was asleep, and I checked her bedroom, she was asleep.
So that's what makes it paranormal, because they're both sleeping, and she's surely a young girl. I don't know how young she was, but surely a young girl doesn't, you know, show herself and then run into bed and act like she's sleeping.
Exactly.
Because she's, you know.
No, I have.
Well, I mean, girls naturally would do that. I mean, especially if they're told to go back to bed. But another thing that struck a chord was, you know, she was wearing a long white nightgown. My stepsister wasn't.
Oh, very good.
No, so again. I don't know, like, I don't have an explanation for it, but it definitely piqued my interest. So moving forward from there, I guess.
Actually, Justin, we're gonna stop right there real quick. We're gonna take a quick break, and
sure.
I have one follow-up question, and then we'll continue on. Alrighty, folks. You're listening to PIR Radio tonight with our guest tonight, Justin. I believe, how do you pronounce your last name, Justin?
Wiswell.
Okay, I didn't want to destroy it. I apologize for that. Justin Wiswell from Maritime Paranormal. Check out their website, www.maritimeparanormal.ca or .com. And we'll be right back after this quick, brief message.
PIR Radio will be right back after these messages.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits? And you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
All right, I told everyone that would be a really, really quick break, but we're back with Justin Wiswell, and we were talking about, you know, the when you were at babysitting, and you saw this girl in the white gown. What I was going to ask, were you able to tell if there was like some opacity where you could actually see through her?
I guess the best way to describe it would be, not so much opacity, but there's definitely almost like a, how would I put it, like a dusty kind of an aura glow, something like that. Almost like it was emitting its own light, I guess.
Did you get goosebumps, or did you have that feeling that you knew something wasn't right, though? I mean, you know, how you can sense that when you're on an investigation, you can sense that something's not the what it's supposed to be?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, being, you know, just a teenager myself at the time, the first reaction was I froze. Like, I was paralyzed. Every hair in my body stood up on end. But I don't know if that was, you know, because of something paranormal or just my own primal instincts kicking in.
Now, was this the only incident that you had, or when you were, like, in your younger years? Or is that mainly it before you... you know, came into this paranormal research field and, you know, formed your team?
Well, I mean, as a kid, I used to suffer from some pretty bad night terrors. So I had some vivid dreams that, you know, kind of strike a chord, but more or less, like, I wouldn't account them to being paranormal, just more questionable than anything. I guess to elaborate, some of those dreams would be shadow figures, things like that, standing at the end of my bed. But, you know, it's always something that I had assumed that everybody experienced.
That's funny. That's what Laurie said about her house when she grew up, and it was haunted until she moved and said, well, where are the shadows, and where are these noises, and where are these things, and these presence, and these feeling? Laurie's the leader of my team. But, so that's interesting. I guess my next question would be for you, Justin, would be, do you know if you were in that sort of like, oh, I'm just getting to sleep and I'm seeing these shadows figure? Maybe you weren't dreaming. Maybe you were actually seeing them, is my point.
No, I've entertained a lot of different possibilities. Everything from hypnagogic to hypnopompic states, sleep paralysis, you know, just your natural defense mechanism, peripheral vision, right? That's used to detect threats, at least with primitive man. So, I think there's just as much, you know, natural explanation for it as anything, especially things that involve dream state, or, you know, anytime somebody's close to dream state late at night, things like that.
Like I always talked, I always have the off the wall questions, and this is just hypothetical, and it's just an opinionated question. Do you think, you know, you said you had mentioned that you suffered from night terrors, and you had you know, these types of situations happen. Do you think, overall, I know a ton of people have had this happen. Do you think it's something that's paranormal, or can you classify it as a medical condition where it can be treated? What's your opinion on that? Because I'm sure some people are saying, oh, it's a medical condition, and then you have the paranormal field saying, I'm sure they're going to say that it's a, there's no really medical condition, and then it's something paranormal. I mean, you're going to get
sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's just it. And especially with something like sleep paralysis, because it's something that's hard to diagnose for clinicians. And there really is no, I think there is a drug on the market that'll help you with those things, but if for me it wasn't that consistent, like I wouldn't have called it a chronic issue. It wasn't keeping me up a lot. I definitely think that there's a lot of reasons to think that it could be purely physiological. You know, your brain definitely acts differently when you're asleep. Feeling paralyzed, waking up, sleep paralysis has been looked at, but one of the things that always fascinates me about it is how people seem to relate the same experiences when they're from a completely different cultural background. For instance, I'd say like the Hat Man. Lots of different cultures, lots of different societies are reported seeing. Yeah?
What is that again?
The Hat Man?
Hat?
Hat. Hat is in...
Oh. Okay, Kurt, you know about the Hat Man?
I'm actually stumped. I have never heard about the Hat Man.
Justin, you not only have to tell us about the culture, you have to tell us about the story.
Okay, so Hat Man, I don't think it's actually been a classified phenomenon or anything like that, and I might be overstepping my bounds by classifying it.
Let's put it out there, man.
Okay, but a number of people from different backgrounds have reported, I would say, an apparition of like a shadow figure, a semi-translucent entity in their room, generally associated with sleep paralysis and things like that, but people have seen it while they're completely awake as well. Usually reports seem to consist of seeing what they believe is a gentleman standing at the end of their bed or in one spot with a hat. And that's the one discernible feature, is that they are in fact wearing a hat.
Then I'm envisioning like this sort of Zorro dark figure with a brim hat. Is that what you're is that the type of hat you're talking about?
Well, that's another strange thing. People have even reported a number of different types and styles of hat. Everything from one of the type of buckle hats that you'd see an Amish person wearing to a fedora or, like you say, a wide brimmed hat.
Well, okay.
So this fun. Okay, so I'm trying to follow this. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be sound like I'm kind of dumb. So it's like a shadow figure that's in a hat or something, a dark shadow figure?
More or less, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
Justin, I think your story is very viable. And so
I think so too, definitely. I mean, I think you're seeing more and more people talking about shadow figures.
And the other thing I think is when we talk about the paranormal, when we talk about people that have passed, most times, I mean, there are times when the psychics on our team say, hey, this happened, you know, 2 years ago, or this happened 8 years ago. But most time, I think places that are historically haunted also are haunted with older sort of hauntings from back, you know, 50, 100 years ago. And so maybe more people back then actually did wear hats.
I wouldn't presume to make like any assumptions about the phenomena. So it's just something like when I was telling you about the figure that I saw, you know, in between waking and sleeping there, as a kid, I brought that story up to other people, and I've had people come to me with similar accounts, just completely out of nowhere. Almost seems to be a little bit of synchronicity with it. I know at least two members of our team have had similar experiences, and we had, you know, never known each other before we had met up and formed this group.
I gotta follow up. Why is it with this hat phenomenon, the hat figure, hat man figure phenomenon, that it seems like it happens with children, but you never hear adults speaking about it? It only happens in people's childhood. Is it more prevalent that children can remember because they have such wild, you know, they have such vivid memories of everything compared to as you get older? I know you forget things.
I can only really speculate on that. I know that the majority of people who I've spoken with have had incidents as a child, which could coincide with night terrors, which are an entirely natural phenomenon for children. But there are other people who have had experiences in adulthood. And as well, you know, just the fact that multiple people from completely different backgrounds, completely different socioeconomic classes are experiencing relatively the same thing. It's easy for... I don't want to give precedence to it being paranormal. It's easy to say that it is something that we can catalog and we can categorize and say that medicine understands it, but at the same time, medicine doesn't have some sort of a solution for it, I guess.
Is it because children are more vulnerable to these types of encounters? Do they, because they're more open, they don't know how to control it?
I can only speculate on that. It's possible, very much possible, I guess.
I think they're just more open, period. But, you know, it's interesting when I started to Google search, you know, Google spells everything for you now, right? Even when you type one letter, which is amazing. But anyways, put in Hatman as one word, and there's a bunch that come up. Hatman of Ireland, Hatman Ghost, Hatman Luggage, Hatman Phenomenon, and Hatman Shadow People, and there's some others that don't make sense. Like, well, one does make sense, but it's not paranormal. Sales, you know. Okay, so we'll have to research this more.
Absolutely.
Of course, because I'm quite interested in it. I do want to say one thing, Justin. One time somebody, you know, I told somebody like 5-6 years ago, I was in a movie theater lobby and I worked at the movie theater, and somebody said, oh, you do paranormal, I heard. And so I started talking to this person, and she started explaining the situation, and I actually said to her, oh, and you felt pinned down. And she said, yeah, and like you couldn't breathe, and like something was holding you down. You know, this typical scenario. And she said, are you psychic? And I said, no, but I must have heard the story about, you know, 30 times or something, you know, so I kind of knew where you were going with it. And I think that's interesting, too, in the same sense of the Hat Man, like, credibility-wise, she didn't know that this happened to other people until I made it seem like I was psychic or could read her mind or something. So I guess on that note, how do people that, you know, have no knowledge of this, just it happened to them but don't really know what her paralysis thing. So
and how many people don't come forward because,
right,
you know,
just they feel they're going to be belittled or made fun of or just sound stupid, you know. So she came to me because she heard that me talking about it, or heard somebody else said that Bill does this kind of stuff. So it's interesting. So how do these stories compile when these people are really not searching the internet? They just kind of bring it up, you know. So I think that brings more credibility to all that, sort of in different aspects, you know, not just the Hat Man. So,
but, you know, we have to ask, you know, with all these experiences, did this lead you to drive you to form your own team? Is that one of the main points of why you formed Maritime Paranormal?
Well, I mean, like I had said, I had always, I guess, kind of collected these types of stories and always found them fascinating. So I'd always been a history buff anyway, even as a child. So it was an interesting look at some history that might otherwise have been overlooked. Always enjoyed compiling stories, and it wasn't until early 2010 that I ran into a couple other people who were interested in actually going out and doing some hands-on things with this sort of stuff.
Now, what made you form Maritime Paranormal?
I think in the beginning, it was actually a completely different group. It was with a few different people, actually. Over time, me and Aaron actually had kind of taken charge of the group and kind of changed the direction more towards objective, neutral, unbiased, unopinionated research. So when we kind of made that shift, you know, we kind of lost some friends and made a lot of new ones as well. But the initial reasoning behind wanting to get into it was really just wanting to hands-on go out and see if there was anything to this sort of stuff, I guess. I mean, I know I had always known I'd had my own experiences, but, you know,
so it's questionable. I looked at your website, and there's upcoming, and most of them seem like private homes. I mean, I just glanced at it real fast, and some were upcoming, and some were already had passed. And I don't know the term that you guys used on that, but have you found anything that led you one way or the other, that it was just a noise in the heater or whatever, or vice versa? Or any evidence that led you more towards the paranormal for some of these investigations?
Do you mean, do I believe in ghosts?
Well, Yeah, you could answer that too. Yeah, but I mean, but has anything that you, any of these investigations pushed you over that sort of like skeptic open mindedness to like, oh, now, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I've always been skeptical. I'm still skeptical. I mean, in terms of the actual proper use of the term, not just knee-jerk denying everything. But there has been a few instances I can say that we had absolutely no explanation for what we'd either recorded or what we had experienced. Most recently, I would say the most strange thing was a house that we had investigated a number of times in the past. We had never had any real physical interaction. And then on our last investigation, there was a really strong smell of like rotten eggs or sulfur, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically coming from one area of the house. We had checked around both below and
You said it happens in the bathroom? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's exactly what my thoughts were. Actually, my first thought was, who dropped a bomb?
Right.
But exactly. After that, we realized that there was no plumbing connection that ran through that portion of the house, and the plumbing connection that was closest wasn't leaking, wasn't doing anything like that. So since then, she has had a contractor come in to work on various things in the house, but... I'd like to check with him to see if he experienced the smell and if he has an explanation for it as well.
Oh, but after that was it. I thought there was another physical end. After the smell, I thought there was a physical contact.
Actually, there was one other physical contact. Another member of our team. Another member of our team felt a tug on the back of their shirt twice.
Alrighty, guys, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to listen to a song real quick, and we'll be right back after the song. You're listening to PIR Radio live on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. We'll be right back.
Good life. this to complain about.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
Welcome back to PIR Talk Radio. You can always find our website at PIRradio.com. We're here with Justin, who is part of MaritimeParanormal.com or .ca for Canada, Justin was in the middle of explaining there was some foul odor. And I'd like to thank One Republic for that song of Good Life, awesome song that Kurt, I think he got it from track9.com, but I could be wrong. Anyway, so Justin was in the middle of explaining that there was a foul odor coming out, and all of a sudden there was another instance where somebody was even being pushed or grabbed, I forget which. Justin?
Neither. I'm just going to try to explain it in as objective terms as possible. One of our team members was pretty much mockingly decrying that there was nothing there and, you know, was kind of trying to be aggressive, I guess would be the best way to put it. And shortly thereafter, they felt a tug on the back of their shirt, which to their dismay kind of freaked them out a little bit. And she tried to brush it off. Actually, she's one of the more skeptical people in our group. Shortly thereafter, maybe 20 to 30 seconds, she felt what she described as a hand going up underneath of her shirt on her back, and then that's when she decided she had had enough of that room.
Oh, really? So, what was the circumstances? Who was near her? She was kind of off on her own in a little corner or something, and then happened? What made her believe so much that it couldn't have been you pulling it or some other investigator?
Well, it was me, her, and one other person in the room. Both me and the other person were sitting down, and she was standing in the middle of the room. There's no furniture, nothing that she could have snagged herself on.
So she would have known if you would have, you know, did like that little schoolboy thing and just jumped up, tagged her, and then sat back down. She would have heard you, seen you.
Exactly. In fact, she tried to brush it off the first time, thinking maybe she just had, you know, her shirt tucked in wrong and it popped out. She was pretty affected by it.
And since she was a skeptic, which also helps move things along, because I know some things that happened to me, and I said, well, it could have been just loose or, you know, the doorknob loose or whatever. But so you really rethink things and relook at things and examine things. But I guess, you know, once she – the first time it happened, she probably addressed you two and saw that you were sitting, so knew it couldn't have been you, and, you know, collect her thoughts. And then the second time probably really pushed her over the edge or – believer, you know.
Well, I still don't think that she necessarily believes that something ghostly happened, but as for having an explanation for it, I wouldn't even try to speculate on it.
Okay.
Now, do you think it's beneficial for a team to have a skeptic?
I think that everybody should be skeptical to some degree. I think there's just been a lot of misuse of the word skeptic. It's kind of developed a dirty connotation, but initially it was meant to describe somebody who doubts or questions, not somebody who outright disbelieves. So with that said, I think that as researchers or investigators, it's any researcher or investigators, you know, responsibility to be as objective as possible, to be skeptical not only of themselves but of other people at the same time. So, yeah, I think it's important that everybody have some degree of skepticism, especially when what we're trying to do is, you know, look into this stuff and have it taken seriously from a research standpoint.
You know, Justin, I actually have some sort of skeptic in me. I'm a skeptic wannabe, want to believe. But something that happens with these psychics, do you have psychics on your team?
Do we have psychics on our team?
Yeah.
We don't use psychics as a frontline tool, if that's what you mean.
Oh, that's it. You're done. Cut up. No, just kidding. We use a lot of psychics strongly, and I strongly believe it. But one of the interesting things are we try not to have interaction with the homeowners prior to coming. Like, sometimes I'll write some things, and, you know, I'll know, or some other people will know, but it's not like the whole team knows. And there's other things that we can't figure out. You can't you know, if they say, oh, it happened in the bedroom or it happened in the, in, you know, happened in the house, you really don't know where to go. So one of the things that we like to do is let the psychics come in, run around one at a time, and they all seem to migrate to these certain corners or spots in the house and explain these stories. So that kind of, you know, they've never been there. They, you know, they don't know what happened or not. And they come up with sort of the same stories most times. So that, for me, is compelling enough that there's either something paranormal or these people are able to read something, these psychics. But anyway, since you don't use them.
You reserve your judgment on it, though, right?
Well, yeah, no, I try to keep, you know, an open perspective of it because I want to welcome it. You know, if something happens, that I can, but I do judge it because I wonder if they're actually reading the mind of the person. Mm-hmm. But they also tell the people sometimes things that they don't know, which actually leads me into the more psychic, like they're actually reading the room or reading the energy.
So more or less, you don't believe it, but you don't have reason to disbelieve it either.
I more believe it because when they say something like, you know, this is your grandma and she's showing me something and it's folded up papers and the guy jumps up and I'm giving you a really short version. He jumps up and he runs in the kitchen. He says, is this what you see? The folded papers and it's her recipe book. I mean, that's kind of like, well, there's sort of like the psychic.
Validation.
Yeah, the validation, right? So
yeah. No,
anyway.
I hear you. That's an interesting question. I mean, I guess it depends on each group's perspective or how they see these things.
Other aspect of it, Justin, believe it or not, stuff's happening to you. You see things, you hear things, you smell things, of course. And so you kind of lean towards like, what is it or what isn't it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it's, no, I appreciate the question because the short answer, more or less, no, we don't use psychics as a frontline tool. Yes, we have a member who has said in the past that they have certain sensitivities to things.
Sure.
They have in the past shown, you know, like you said, to be able to validate things that we otherwise might not have been able to know unless we had checked the history books or spoken with family members. But there really is a dilemma that comes with that as well. If you're putting yourself out there as an investigator with an objective mindset, you really do need to, like you said, approach it objectively. You need to not let them know what type of information you have about the case beforehand or any other facts pertaining to the case because that's going to dilute or maybe give you a false representation of what you're capable of. So I don't think it should be retired from psychical research completely. I think it should be considered anecdotal evidence, if anything, and should be labeled as a subjective impression rather than something objective that happened during the actual investigation.
And I keep, like, sometimes with these psychics and other people, they say, oh, do you hear that or do you smell that or do you see that flash or something? And I tell you what, if I don't see it or I don't smell it or I don't see it or cold or whatever, I just tell them, no, I don't know what you're talking about because I don't want to play into the hysteria. And sometimes when you're walking around in the dark, it is your nervousness, your reactions, the excitement of the moment. So I'm sure that's happened to you guys too.
One thing I've always wondered about, and maybe you'd be able to shed some light on it, no pun intended, there are a lot of groups out there that do investigate in the dark. I've only ever come up with a handful of reasons why people would do that. Any reasons you can think of? Or?
Definitely is not dead time for me, that's for sure, because they do that at 2 a.m. on that show. I don't know if you've ever seen Paranormal State, but I think the energy is different. I think, you know, we've sat at places with the lights on and these psychics told us things. I think maybe it is a hysteria so we can play up on our own feelings and energy. I don't know, but...
You know why they investigate at dark is so these companies can make money selling all this infrared stuff.
You know what? Honestly, when actually looking at the reasoning behind it, the only reason I can think of is exactly what you just said.
You know, the first EVP I ever caught was in the daylight hours.
Is that right? Oh.
Yep, in a cemetery that when I lived in Georgia, there was a cemetery before the entrance to our subdivision, and we just walked around with an EVP and did EVP sessions, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, doesn't it make sense that if you're going to perceive a ghost or experience one, that it's going to be you know, they're going to follow social norms. Like, they're going to go to bed at a certain hour. They're going to eat at a certain hour. They're going to come home at a certain hour.
Well, they always, Lori always explains to me that, you know, if their house was here, they might not be, you know, that's sometimes you see them walk through walls because the footprint of the house is different or the building is different. And they do their own routine, but some are actually, residual or repetitious. I forget what that word is. And some are actually active haunts. So I don't know. Maybe you're right. But maybe the residual ones, they don't care what time it is or not. And the more smarter ones, you know.
I know what I'm going to go, so I'm going to be taking my nap, you know, sleeping time seriously and nap time seriously.
And I tell you what, you know what? I got a bunch of people I'm going to go scare the shit out of because I owe them big time.
Oh, wait. I was a little late with the beep.
Oh.
But I don't know if you heard the curse word in the song, too, earlier.
What, does he say the F word?
No, he says shit.
Oh, I was going to do the F bomb, but then I didn't want Justin to think we were unprofessional.
Now I have to label the podcast explicit because I don't want some mom to complain.
No, shit is not explicit. Anyway, so Justin, amazingly enough, we were only supposed to give you like 15 or 20 minutes or whatever talk time, and here we are where we're actually running up on 10 of the hour, and Ron Reeder's following us up, so we would definitely have to clear the station. But Kurt, why don't you wind down with Justin, let him get in his websites, because I think what they're doing is pretty cool up there.
Absolutely, and Justin's going to...
And I'm going to tell you something, Justin, and you can just say yes or no, but we didn't ask all these typical questions that these other guys ask. You know, EVP and you know, and...
What's your favorite EVP and what type of EVP? We get into some off-the-wall stuff, but Bill, just to let you know, Justin's going to stay with us, and we're going to get his... I want to get his opinion on the topic that you talked about real quick.
All right, so I got this. Actually, I got this from the PIR site under news, and there's just a news aggregator there, so you could go and read this. But it's
what's that word again?
Aggregate.
No, okay, I've never heard of it.
Oh,
I have, but the only way I've heard of aggregate was in a soccer, so and so won by a 5-3 aggregate.
Is that correct use of aggregate?
Probably, I don't know.
All right, here we go. But anyway. This came out of Edmonton, Canada, in celebration of Justin. Chinese Eastern Airs reported an unusual incident while he was flying north of the city of Alberta, Canada, and the pilots report seeing a UFO near their position.
Just to correct you, I think it's the province of Alberta.
It says the city in the article, so I can only read. Oh. Justin, is it the province?
Alberta is a province.
All right, the province of Alberta. We should correct this story.
Yeah, that story's wrong.
You know what? Anyway, this is actually from the Chinese website that was translated by Google, so that might be the error. You know, the plane is an Airbus A340-600 flight MU587, which runs between Pudong International Airport, Shanghai, China, and the John F. Kennedy International Airport, New York. With a number of passengers that has not been indicated with the number of passengers was over the Canadian territory around the coordinates 58 degrees north, 111 degrees west.
Bill, I only know the reason why you wanted the story is because the airliner started with A.
A. When the pilot reported that the air traffic controllers from the control center that the road they saw a strong light, making them think of a UFO 40 miles south of their position, underway at approximately the southwest and altitude of 41,000 feet. The air traffic controllers say they have no radar on that position and no trace of any light, which could explain the presence of the object. After several minutes of observation, it disappeared. The flight continued without further incident, and the aircraft arrived at New York on time.
What day was this flight, Bill? Can you let me know real quick?
I don't see that. Story was just posted on the 27th.
So if it was posted on the 27th, because you do know last week we did have the that solar storm on Tuesday.
We did.
And there was a lot of activity with the aurora lights and a lot of stuff, you know, up north. So I wonder, I wonder if this was kind of, it could be a, you know, I'm just giving my opinion that this could be a situation to where that, that could be part of that solar flare storm that happened last, you know, at the beginning of last week.
It could very well be, you know. So what do you think of that, Justin? Up in Canada, there's some UFOs?
I haven't seen any for Alberta within the last week or two.
where do you usually see them at, Justin?
I usually visit a few different sites, MUFON, SICAN.
I meant, where do you usually see your UFOs when you're looking at, if they're not above Alberta?
Oh, I see. There was one actually just in Halifax, which is in our region, just the other day.
Have you have you personally seen a UFO? I haven't.
Personally, no. I have friends who claim to have seen them from two different angles, but not yet.
I'm ready for that too.
You know, Bill, we've had our guest on. Remember Paul Shishi, Paul Michael Shishi?
He's from Canada, isn't he?
Yeah, he's from. What is it? More towards the New York part of Canada, not Quebec or Montreal. I know. I think he's got the friend. He's in that Quebec province, I think.
He's not in New Brunswick, or
no? He's more Quebec or Ottawa. I think he says he's from Oshawa or something, maybe. I'd have to go back and check my notes.
That's in Ontario. Yeah. So it would be close to Ottawa, yeah.
But he has crazy, well documented, and, you know, he has the whole history starting from, what was his, 60s, 70s, 1970s?
I think around 68, and we've gone all the way through to 2004.
So he's been telling us these sort of stories, and, man, very compelling.
It seems like Canada is a hotbed for UFO activity, though. This ain't paranormal, but, you know, we like off-the-wall topics, too. If you were asked to go on a UFO investigation, would you go?
Yeah, probably. There would probably be a few things I'd want to check out first, like how often sightings are, if they're regular or not. But, yeah, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't. I'd definitely bring a tripod.
Definitely bring a tripod. Awesome.
Does your government up in Canada, do they seem to frown on UFOs? Do they try? You might not know.
I don't think there's as much of a push for disclosure here as there is in the States. I think there's actually some Canadian political figures who have stepped forward and said that, you know, they believe that extraterrestrials visited Earth specifically. And I also know that, his name's eluding me right now. Stanton Friedman. You're probably familiar with him. He lives here in the Maritimes as well.
We actually had him on our show.
Oh, really? Yeah, he lives probably about two and a half, three hours from me.
He's real knowledgeable. We had a fun time with him on.
Oh, man. He's such a credible guy. It's so many different jobs within, like, the U.S. government, Canadian government, as a consultant for nuclear projects and things like that.
I know he's like a physicist or something. Mm-hmm. But, hey, Justin, you know, it seems like we just started the show, but, you know, an hour comes and goes real quick, so we need to start winding down here. What we're going to do is, as we let all our guests do, at the beginning, at the end, if you want to give any shout-outs to anyone, and then let the folks know out there in podcast land or listening live your website so they can visit you.
Okay. Our website is www.maritimeparanormal.ca, also to be accessed through maritimeparanormal.com. I'd probably give a shout out to Alan, who's here in the chat room, also a member of the team, and anybody else who might listen to the podcast later. And thank you to you guys for having me on.
We appreciate it. And you know, when we have that, when we're going to do a little research and we're going to have a show about Hatman, we would like you to be part of the discussion group.
Anytime.
Excellent.
Awesome. But great show. I can't thank you enough, Justin. Actually.
I know.
You're more knowledgeable than us.
No, not at all. Anytime you guys want me on, let me know.
Hey, we're always willing to learn anything, and, you know, we have fun. We like to say we have to have fun. We do this for fun. We like to get to know people, and it gives the guests that we have on a chance to promote their group and, you know, have fun. So hopefully you had fun and got your paranormal radio experience.
I certainly did.
Excellent. Hey, just to let you know, the podcast will be up sometime tomorrow. I'll shoot you a message. I'll post a link on your group page and on Facebook, and I'll send you an email too with it.
Looking forward to it.
But we appreciate you coming on tonight, and you have a wonderful evening. And tell Aaron that me and Bill said hi.
Oh yeah, nope. Sure.
No problem, man.
Hey, there it is. Alrighty,
no problem.
you have a great evening, Justin. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alrighty, Bill, what a show.
What a show. We didn't even get to your story, and, you know, next week we'll keep yours for hot on the press. And that would have fit in well with my psychic got, you know, garble.
Yeah, but you know, I'll keep it to, I have a couple stories now to move on because we didn't get to one of them last week. And the story that I'll get to next week is, are babies born with intuitive psychic knowledge?
Awesome.
And this is a researcher has done some research, so I have the article, and I will we'll get into that next week. Do you have any?
That's it. You know, I'm really proud of the way that things are moving along really quickly for getting back and getting our feet back wet. Again, you know, if people want to read about this paranormal, where we're getting our stories from, you can go to PIR.com and hit news, and there's an aggregate there that kind of shuffles all these different. You know, some of them are just like paranormal. Movie stuff, but you know, once you filter through that, you can get to some really great sites.
Oh, and I just want to through iTunes, I never knew that people could leave reviews. So we had two reviews on PIR Radio. We awesome. Had a 4-star and a 1-star, and okay. we appreciate people being honest. You know, if you want to give us a 1-star, that's fine. Let us know what we can do. We can change. I mean, we do this to have fun. Just to get to know people and network with people. You know, we stay in contact with, this is our 115th show, so this is my 115th show. I don't know how many bills.
My second.
No, you've been here longer than that. You've been doing, I would say, 50 or 60 shows at least. But, you know, we have fun. But you know what? Be honest. Give us honest feedback. We'll take a look at it and we'll work on that. You know, we have fun. So,
all right, let's step out of the way. Keep it paranormal. Kurt?
And listen to PIR Radio to get your paranormal radio experience. Don't forget, you can catch the podcast on iTunes and many other podcatcher sites. And don't forget, Loud Blog. Check out our website, www.pirradio.com, and become a fan of the Pro Paranormal Radio Network by clicking the little My Fan Facebook page button that I put on the front page. And everyone, take it easy, be safe, and we'll see you next week on PIR Radio.
Next week.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio. Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRO Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Radio Network and